صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, the coronavirus, as you all may have heard about, has now infected close to 30,000 people in mainland China. It has also taken the lives of 638 people thus far. The virus has now spread to 28 countries around the world, and leading to a potential pandemic. You have two terms that are used. One is called an epidemic. An epidemic is when a large number of people are infected by a virus or by a disease, but which is generally confined to a certain area. However, when this virus or when this disease goes beyond the borders internationally and covers the globe, it is then classified as a pandemic. Scientists have not as yet classified the coronavirus as a pandemic, even though it has now reached 28 countries around the globe. Now, the worst pandemic recorded in history was the Spanish flu that took place in 1918 to 1920 for 2 years. This has been the deadliest pandemic known to man thus far. This pandemic, the Spanish flu, infected about 500 million people. That is one third of the total global population at that time. And it extended to the remotest areas like the Pacific Islands and the Arctic. Eventually, it claimed the lives of between 50 to 100 million people. So, this pandemic, the coronavirus, could not have come at a worse time for the people of China. It came just weeks before their New Year, the Lunar New Year. And during this Lunar New Year, the largest migration of human beings take place on the planet Earth. They say that approximately 30 billion trips take place by way of sea, aeroplanes, cars, for people going back to their homes, back to their villages, to celebrate the New Year with their families. People have speculated regarding the source and the outbreak. What was the origin of the coronavirus? And various reasons have been, or possibilities have been given. One theory, as you may have all read, is that the source of the coronavirus, the source of the coronavirus was snakes. The other, another theory put forward was that in the epicenter, in the city of Wuhan, where this virus broke out, there was a market, illegal market, selling wild animals. And this was the source of, or the origin of the coronavirus. A third theory was that this was transported to human beings via bat soup and snake soup, etc., were food that was consumed by people. And there was a fourth theory that was mentioned by a conservative newspaper called the Washington Times that said the coronavirus actually originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is one of the largest labs in the world that deals with viruses. And this was a virus that was developed in the lab and which accidentally spilled out, an experiment that went wrong. But all these possibilities were, in terms of where did this virus originate, are all theories, mere speculation. The question, however, is what lessons do we learn from this pandemic? How do we as Muslims respond to this outbreak and this disease? Firstly, what this pandemic has demonstrated is how life can change in a split second. How one unanticipated event can change the lifestyle of millions of people in a way that we thought was impossible. And one example of this is the Beijing railway station, which usually sees traffic around 34.7 million people during the festive season, during the new year, passing through and commuting through the railway station. This railway station, which sees about 34.7 million people going through, is now lays isolated, forsaken, and abandoned. It was impossible to conceive that such a vibrant part, cogwheel of Beijing, the capital of China, stands almost lifeless. Another example is the city of Wuhan, which is the epicenter of this virus, which is home to 11 million people. 11 million people is approximately twice the size of Johannesburg in terms of population. Johannesburg population around 5.7, close to 6 million. Wuhan is home to 11 million people. And what was thought impossible is now staring us in the face. A total lockdown which resembles a ghost city with empty streets and biosecurity checkpoints everywhere. People dressed in protective clothing, almost as if Wuhan has become a city for the aliens. No human beings in sight. Transport is shut down. Most shops and businesses are closed. Schools are closed. There's no any form of public engagement. A resident of Wuhan, who's now in the heart of this lockdown, says that the world has suddenly become quiet. And the silence is horrifying. I live alone, so I can tell that there are other human beings around from the occasional noises that I hear in the corridors. In the supermarkets, vegetable shelves are empty, and almost all dumplings and noodles are sold out. There's lack scarcity of food. Not only is there scarcity of food, but despite the attempt by government to ensure that prices do not escalate, people are finding it difficult to go and purchase scarce commodities. So the lesson we learn is that your circumstances tomorrow may be very different from your circumstances today. How adaptive are we? How flexible are we in terms of our lives, the lifestyles that we lead? How will our faith at all able to protect us and insulate us from feeling despondent, helpless, and hopeless under such circumstances? Shuray radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, a Sahabi, talking about this varying circumstances and the ability to withstand these circumstances, he says, if I am afflicted with a calamity, I praise Allah four times. In other words, for four reasons. I praise Him that it was not worse than what it is. I praise Him when He provides me with the patience to bear. I praise Him when He guides me to supplicate appropriately and hope for reward. And I praise Him that this calamity was not regarding my deen or my faith, that I have not lost my faith. That's the first lesson we learn from the outbreak of the virus. Life can change in ways that we think is impossible. Look at the lockdown. 11 million people told to stay indoors. Was it ever conceivable? And nothing says that it cannot happen here. Secondly, the second lesson we learn is the impermanence of life. Allah says, talks about life, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that the life of this world is but a deceptive enjoyment for a period of time. Life can abruptly end, as it has ended for those 638 people who have died because of this virus. Those 600 people had aspirations like we have. They had dreams like we have. They had families like we have. They also thought they're going back home. And today they are no more. Their lives have suddenly come to an end. The irony is, as humans, we often try to maintain an illusion of permanence. Even though we know nothing is permanent in this life, we live as it will never come to an end. And this impermanence should teach us the third lesson, that this impermanence should create a consciousness and a realization that this is the last time we are doing this. When you leave home, it could be the last time. How did you leave home this morning? Did you greet your spouse? Did you embrace your children? There's a great possibility that you may not go back. When you pray, this may be your last prayer. That's the impermanence and the harsh reality of life. And this realization should spur us in not sleepwalking through our lives. Many of us simply sleepwalk through our lives. We go through the motions like robots. We wake up in the morning, and we just continue till the evening, come back home only to start that cycle. We should be asking ourselves, are we sleepwalking through our lives, taking life for granted? The fourth question or lesson, which people generally ask, is this some kind of punishment on the people of that locality? The harsh truth is, that we cannot sit in judgment seat. We do not have the authority, and we do not have the capacity or ability to determine whether this is a punishment or not. That is in the preserve of Allah. Not all diseases afflict bad people or evil people. In barely 100 years from the time of Hijra, the plague of Amwas took place in Palestine, which claimed the lives of 25,000 people. And among those 25,000 people were great Sahaba, dear companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we should guard against sitting in judgment seat and condemning an entire people for collective punishment. We should guard against rejoicing in their suffering. We should guard against mocking their food choices, even though it may seem abhorrent to us. However, the Quran does say, "Ma asabakum min musibatin fabima kasabat aydikum." Whatever affliction strikes you, it is because of the doings of your own hands. In other words, our circumstances are very much determined by our actions. But this verse calls human beings to introspect, not to condemn. We need to introspect and say, what have I done to find myself in the circumstances that I find myself in? Not to condemn people. That judgment rests with Allah. Another debate that is prevalent in international circles is that should foreign citizens be evacuated from Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the virus? So there are ethical issues, there are moral issues, and there are potential health hazards because you may be transferring the virus to other places. It's already covered 28 countries in the world. And we have a precedent in Islamic history when during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went towards Syria. And when he came to a place called Sarkh, he met the commander chief of the Muslim army, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him that Syria has been infected with a plague. What are you going to do? So Umar radiallahu anhu consulted people, those around him, and said, we're going back to Medina. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him a question. Are you running away from the decree of Allah? And Umar radiallahu anhu replied, yes, I am running from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. I am running from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. Meaning, in this answer of Umar radiallahu anhu, he explained what human effort is about. It is not about surrendering to whatever we assume to be decreed for us by Allah. But rather, we are obliged to avoid misfortune. We are obliged to take our precautions. We are obliged to remove poverty by acquiring wealth. We are obliged to ensure health by taking precaution against sickness. And that was the message of Umar radiallahu anhu. And that is one lesson we learn, that when we say we believe in taqdeer, it does not mean fatalism. That was the belief of a group called the Jabariya. The Jabariya, or the fatalists, believe that we have no hand in our destiny. It's going to unfold as the Almighty has decreed. They become submissive, not willing to take responsibility, and simply wait for whatever is to happen. And lastly, very quickly, is that this plague helps us to better understand a prophecy of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that perhaps was difficult or is difficult for people to understand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that towards the end of time, how will the Muslims actually leave planet Earth, the last Muslims? So he said that towards the end of time, Allah will send a pleasant breeze. And this breeze will surround the entire globe. And it will pursue people of faith, even if you have a speck of iman. And that wind will cause a disease under the armpits and take the lives of the all remaining Muslims on the globe. When this was said to the Sahaba, or if this was said to us some time ago, it would be difficult for us to perceive how this will happen. But this pandemic or epidemic makes it that much easier for us to understand how this will happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, give us the foresight to understand that nothing happens by chance, nothing happens without a reason. And it is, as the Quran says, you know, take lesson, O people of intellect. Reflect. This is just not a natural phenomena. There's reason behind what has happened. Our challenge is to take lesson from it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.